May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Will you forgive from our gospel lesson today? Forgiving is hard, right? It is hard. Every once in a while you hear an incredible story about forgiveness, and you say to yourself, I don't think I could ever do that. Maybe you remember the name Dylan Roof, who mercilessly slaughtered 9 African-American adults during a Bible study at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in South Carolina. They cover all bases. They should have had Lutheran in there too, and they could have covered it all. The horror of this terrible event is contrasted by the response of the family members to the victims when they confronted Dylan in court. It was simply awe-inspiring. They said things like this to him, I forgive you. You took something precious from me, but I forgive you. Another person said, I forgive you, and my family forgives you. But we would like you to take the opportunity to repent. Repent. Confess, give your life to the one who matters the most. Dylan was unrepentant. He's entirely without remorse. He said that he was right and in his right mind, and he confessed to the crime, blaming black people for murders and rapes of white people. He was sentenced to death. The Reverend Anthony Thompson, the pastor of the church, whose wife was murdered, one of the 9, said this after the trial, I forgave him and I'm not ever going to take it back. What? Wow, amazing. What would you do if your spouse, your child, your parents were slaughtered? I mean, we have trouble forgiving little grievances, much less a murder of a loved one. Before we dig into the scripture, let's look at the fact that our culture celebrates unforgiveness. I mean, in the movies, the hero is one who takes revenge. Liam Neeson needs to kill the bad guy, not arrest him, right? That's what we go there to see. And in real life, we see how bitter and vengeful people can be, how they can hold on to grudges and unforgiveness. Just sit in on any divorce trial and you will see this on display. There are so many ways we justify our non-forgiveness and we carry grievances toward others that we should have let go a long time in the past. There are polls that from the very respected Templeton Foundation that reveal that 75% of Americans are very confident that they have been forgiven by God. Yes. But as to their confidence about forgiving others, 50% think they have forgiven others. Yeah. Another of their polls revealed that most people said that they could forgive someone who lied to them. Well, in this political season, you better be able to forgive somebody who lied to you. Right? 67% of people polled that they could forgive someone who stole from them. On the other hand, 32% would not forgive someone who slapped or punched them in the face. And only 15% of people believe they could forgive someone who murdered their child. Was really sad to me, and I've experienced this, and I think other pastors here in our church have experienced this, when Christians in the same church won't forgive other Christians in the same fellowship. And sometimes churches are torn asunder, right? Also, it bothers me a great deal when a Christian family is rent asunder by unforgiveness and grudges. And that too happens way too often. You know, there's a story about a little boy who was saying his prayers one night as he went down the list of, remember how they used to do that? Maybe you didn't do it this way, but I did it, you know. God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless brother, Kevin. Right? So he was asking God to bless each one of them. But he omitted his brother. His mother asked, why didn't you pray for Ronnie? He said, I'm not going to ask God to bless Ronnie because he hit me. And his mother said, don't you remember that God said, forgive your enemies? The little boy shot back, that's just the trouble. He's not my enemy, he's my brother. Sometimes the most non-forgiving attitude is most severe with the ones we love the most or used to love the most. Our scripture today begins with Peter asking how many times he needed to forgive his brother. And Peter even suggests 7, which was being very charitable because the rabbis in that day said you only had to do it 3 times, you know, like 3 strikes and you're out, right? But Jesus shoots back, no, not 7, but 70 times 7, which if you're quick in math, I know, but I mean, I was always wondering who was going to answer first. 490, which is actually to say really unlimited times, you know. It's not to say when you get to that 491st time, that's it, you know. Right? If you're counting like that, you got another problem. But you might say, isn't this extreme? I mean, isn't it extreme? What if the person doesn't deserve it? Maybe the person intentionally goes on hurting you. Now, the Bible never says we can't protect ourselves. We can do that. But this is still different from whether we forgive or not. Jesus follows up the answer with an incisive, if not biting, parable. But I want to remind you of something. This is a parable. This is a story that Jesus has made up. We are not to file the details of parables. We would do some tough, terrible things in some of the parables, right? Right. And usually parables make, am I right? They usually make one major point. Now, there are some parables that make more than one point, but most parables are pushing one major point, and they're trying to teach us. So you heard it. A king is settling accounts with his servants, and he comes upon a servant who owes him incredible, staggering amount of 10,000 talents. Now, I went to a trusted Jewish commentator, a highly respected one, and 100,000 talents in today's money would be, are you ready for this? $300 billion. Now, that's a lot of money. Maybe not in Washington, you know. When I hear 300 billion, just a billion, $300 billion. Actually, 10,000 was the largest number in the Greek language. So it was a fortune beyond repaying. And since they couldn't repay it, he and his whole family were going to be sold along with all their possessions. Like that was going to make any difference, right? But the servant falls on his knees and he implores the king for patience. He implores him for more time. Again, like that was going to make any difference, right? Shockingly, inconceivably, the king has pity on the servant, and instead of giving him more time, he forgives the whole massive debt. Who would do such a thing? It's incomprehensible. It's mind-boggling forgiveness. It's not realistic. It doesn't make sense at all. To do that. But now this very same servant does something almost equally preposterous. He runs into a fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii, which we follow that same Jewish commentator would be about $360. And this guy who owes $360 does pretty much the same thing as the other servant did. He falls on his knee, but he's being choked. He falls on his knees and he asks for more time, and I'll repay you. I'll repay you. But the first man won't have it. No patience, no forgiveness is offered. Off to debtor's prison with you. When word gets around to the king, he's understandably furious. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? Now, if you think about it deeply, and maybe theologically, this man, this servant that was forgiven $300 billion worth, was fantastically graced. Grace, undeserved love, undeserved forgiveness. Fantastically graced. But it had not taken heart. Grace can come to us, but if it doesn't take heart, he rejected grace, and therefore he couldn't give it. And people who reject God's grace end up by their own choice heading to the debtor's prison called hell. So the obvious lesson here is that we are called upon to forgive, and what we forgive doesn't even come close to what we have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. But I think it goes a lot deeper than that. So stay with me, okay? First, let's consider what it means to be an unforgiving person. I think most of us know that not forgiving is very unhealthy, physically, spiritually, and mentally. A famous quote puts it this way: harboring resentments is like taking poison and waiting for the other guy to die. Right? Another, a Jewish philosopher by the name of Hannah Arendt once said these wise words: forgiveness is the only power which can stop the stream of painful memories. It has been proven that unresolved anger and resentments and grudges of various kinds of unforgiveness can take a terrible toll on your heart. And so comes that other memorable quote, that our hating anyone is like burning down the house to get rid of the rats. Right? But I think in Romans chapter 1, it tells us something else. It says that God gave people up to their sins. So here's what happens. If you hold on to resentments, you're going to have more resentment and more resentment. If you hold on to anger and you don't let go, you're going to have more anger and more anger. Grudges, if you hold on, you're going to have more and more and more. God will let you do it. If you want to go that way, he'll let you do it. And what will you become? A bitter, miserable person. Maybe you've run into people like that. They're so bitter, so miserable, so hateful. But now the deeper meaning. Let me ask you, what kind of debt have you amassed? I'm not talking monetarily. I don't want to hear about that. I'm talking about your sins. Maybe you say, well, I've done away with my sins, and I hope you can say that. I'll tell you this. If you recognize that you are a sinner, a desperate sinner, if when we do the confession, you're really confessing that you know you're a sinner, that's God moving in your heart. Because God is the one that moves us to repent. And if you know about grace, I mean really understand grace, and it's really in your heart, that's God moving in you, right? That's God moving in you. You couldn't believe in his grace without God moving in you. So were it not for Jesus and his grace, our total indebtedness would be enormous. We should be in the debtor's prison in hell. But what does Jesus say from the cross? What does he say? He says the Greek word tetelestai. And it's usually translated what? It is finished. But a lot of you already know that it was a commercial word. Meant the debt is paid in full. It was like stamped. Debt paid. That's what Jesus cried out from the cross. Jesus went to debtor's prison. He went to hell. A huge debt sent him there. Our sins. And he was forsaken. He took on the full wrath of God, the justice of God, so he could deliver us mercy and grace, peace. He was forsaken so that we would never be. Does that move you? Does that move you? It moves me. I think it does move you. So, how do we forgive? With our own strength and power, we're not going to get there. We need supernaturally changed, transformed hearts. That's what grace does. So let me ask you, who pops up into your mind? Maybe you have to go back a few years. Who do you think of? Right? By the way, if it's me, you can settle it right today, okay? I mean, someone you need to forgive? But, oh, Pastor, you have to hear the whole story. You would understand why I have not forgiven this person. You would understand. They don't even want it anymore. They don't want to reconcile with me. You know, I've heard that from brothers, you know, brother against brother, sister against sister, you know, this person, that person. Just breaks your heart, right? But these excuses always fall flat if you read the parable again. And you take it to heart. So let me give you three things to think about when it comes to forgiving people. Number one, acknowledge that you have not forgiven someone. When I was in junior high, which today is called middle school, right? I walked to school, and my walk took me across a bridge. I had to go that way. Otherwise, the other way was way, you know, way too long. But there, waiting at the bridge, was Harry and his gang. And every day, he either took your lunch money or he made you do stupid, harassing things. He was a terror to me and to others. But I took it personally. He was a terror to me. And he would wave a switchblade. Remember what switchblade, you know? Like a knife that flew open, he would wave it. He also had chains. I don't know what they were going to do with chains. I never got the chain or the knife, thank goodness, right? But I hated Harry. I hated him. Years later, being a pastor, of course, I'm forgiving everybody, right? But every time I heard the name Harry, even if it was another person, the old anger would rise up, the hatred for Harry. I even had scenarios, maybe you've done this too, where he was not, I had him on his belly. I had him, my hand on his neck or whatever, and I was beating on him, you know. I was the hero, and all the other kids were, yay, we finally get, you know, Harry down, you know. Is there somebody you haven't forgiven? Number two, this leads to my second point. Cancel the debt, just like Jesus canceled the debt of yours. Don't take revenge. Instead, take the loss. Endure the injustice. Don't run them down. Don't rehash it. God, our God, is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice. And someday, if their heart has not been changed, they're going to be judged. But God says, vengeance is mine. It's not yours. Now, in proper authorities, of course it is. But I mean, I'm talking about individuals. God will set it right. Your duty as a Christian is to forgive. It's not just a duty. It's a result of grace in your heart. And God will set all things right for the oppressed people of His. He will see. He sees everything. Right? Nobody's going to get away with anything except those who come to the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Have I forgiven Harry? I have. I've prayed for him. I shouldn't say this, but I've, whatever prison he's in, I've been praying for him. God forgive me. Right. Number three, pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit who brings divine power. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can never forgive it as we should. If there's one thing you pray for every day, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit of joy and power that I can forgive and love and have mercy. You're never going to be like Jesus. We're never going to be there. We're never going to be perfect. Lord, forgive my unforgiveness, right? But then we can imitate Jesus Christ, who cried out from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The greatest injustice that ever happened in this world was the crucifixion of Jesus. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. Father, as he was there naked on the cross, being tortured to death, Father, forgive them. Finally, we need to recognize that forgiveness is the most powerful witness we have to the activity of grace in our lives. Never are we more like Jesus than when we forgive. And never are we more unlike Jesus when we won't forgive. Those people in Charleston made a bold witness to the whole country. I'm still marvel at it, right? So yes, forgiving can be very hard to do, but with the Spirit's power, we can do it. And remember, we've been forgiven 10,000 talents worth, 300 billion worth. You know, that's an awful lot of love and forgiveness. So let's get busy and let's forgive. Let's give the witness in our own life. Let it come out of our grace-transformed hearts. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen? Amen? Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds.